The Survivor Specialist, Phil and Blake, are back, and today we are doing another binging of Survivor episode. Today we are giving you the best order to binge watch Survivor in, the perfect order. I've come up with this all by myself. I know Blake has some too, but we'll see whose order ends up being more correct or who people agree with more at the end. I'm already getting a finger gun pointed at me. That's how Blake's feeling. But I'm really excited for this podcast. We get asked all the time as Survivor people to go ahead and like, what's the best season to start with? And I never really know what to say. Will always says like one or two seasons. He's always wrong. But I feel like this, it's such a specific answer to the type of game that you want to watch. And the game has changed so much. We talked about doing chronologically. Obviously, if you follow us on Patreon, patreon.com/a specialist,
you can hear us talk
about every season matters because we're up to Millennials versus Gen X now. And that's what we talked about. We put out an episode about that today. But this time we're going to try to do something a little bit different, and we're going to go out of order, and we're going to say, this is the perfect order for Survivor. I broke mine up. I don't know how Blake did it. I don't even think Blake knows how he did it, but I broke mine up into five groups of 10. And I actually didn't do that on purpose. It just worked out that way, which is pretty nice. I was sitting here and I was like, I had like 11 at one point in one group and 9 in another. And I was like, wait, I can just move one of those over and I have a 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. And it was great because like, that just makes it nice and easy and quick. And I pretty much have what I'm calling it a first 10, a next up, a Survivor history building to winners at war, a if you have time and it's mostly seasons I love, and then a skip portion. And I really tried to take my own personal preference out of this as much as I could with some of these and really say to myself, like, is this season actually important to the overall arc of Survivor? Would you be okay with going through the show and not watching this? I love Vanuatu. Vanuatu is not one of the first 10 seasons you need to watch. Okay. You don't need to watch Vanuatu to get ready for Heroes Villains or Micronesia or Winners at War, but I love that season. So where does that fit into this? So we're trying to figure out all of this. I guess we'll try to be a little less spoilery here just for the sake of, you know, there's going to be people maybe who watch this who are actually trying to find the proper order to binge Survivor. At least that's what my hope is. So maybe we don't start by saying like, hey, here's the winner of every season. Although like we're going to talk about Tony and Sandra being winners, and we'll probably talk about people who made it onto Winners at War. So that's how it goes. Anyway, Blake, how are you feeling about this? You get to be a little more chaotic, which is always good for Blake. Last time you had to be chronological, and I know you were like crying after the podcast saying, Phil, you didn't let me go off the rails. Well, now you get to go off the rails.
I'm already seeing some comments in the comment sections that are going to disagree with what I'm doing, but
you're already distracted too.
I do think what the thought process about this is I'm sitting down with friends. I have introduced them to Survivor. Which ones did I start with? I'm going to treat you like my friends. I'm going to say, this is what I would want to watch with you to see. Look at your face. Are you getting it? Did you get it? Whenever this person went out, did you get it? Did you get how cool that was? Am I wasting all my Survivor fandom and friends with on my friends? Sometimes, yes. But maybe you could get it. And I think that's something where when you watch movies, you don't start with, what is the first movie that had audio? What is the first movie that was a shot in a studio format that didn't have the... And it's like, that's what we kind of did last time, is like we built upon all of our stuff of, and now we have a competent casting department, and now we have a competent blank department. But this is, what are your top 10 favorite movies? Would you tell your friends to watch all your top 10 favorite movies in order from order? Or you're like, some of my favorite movies, like Old Boy, I probably wouldn't tell you to watch until your 100th movie. Because maybe that means I should take one of these out, because you're not going to appreciate this as much as I think you would. But like, everyone can understand Jaws. Everyone can understand Rocky. That's why I think I reference them so much in movies. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of like Fast and Furious 1 and 2, sure. But anything else, you're like, what are we doing? We don't need to watch like Fast and Furious 7.
Wait, do those all make your top 10?
Yes. 41 through 47 is my first 7. That's an easy way to get that out. But it's something where it's like, I want you to watch these because this is how we get the juice out of the berry. This is worth the squeeze every single time. That's in my top 10. These are all seasons I personally enjoyed. I think random people would love them. And it's something where this is introducing you to stuff without having to have too much extra stuff. But there is, I'm putting in two all-star seasons at the end of this. So if you only watch 10 seasons and you got hit by a car, or if you were like, I'm only going to give you 10 seasons to get me hooked on Survivor, I'm not going to go, well, you should watch Micronesia 15th. Because yeah. If I only have 10, I'm going to put Micronesia in that first 10. Maybe, where is Yao Man from? Should I know about him more? That probably makes the season more context, but it doesn't make the season better. So who cares?
Yeah, so we got over here. We got Daryl Seymour saying, got to start with Borneo. We got Vlad the Impaler, Island of the Idols, Thailand, Redemption Island to earn your stripes. Hogo Bozo, throwback to John's hot take. We're starting with Fiji. Hirody Garcia, watch Survivor Kagyan, one of the best seasons of all time, which Daryl Seymour then says, don't start with Kagyan. You don't want to start with the best. Hogo Bozo says, facts. Hirody Garcia says, start 10 seasons with the final two. Daryl Seymour, only picking 10 is a different story. You got to include Kagyan in that. But we're not just picking 10. Blake is saying, like, here's my first 10 maybe that I would tell you to start with. I think it's kind of one of those things, right? If you're trying to get somebody to enjoy your taste in movies, I agree with Blake here. Like, if I told Will my favorite movies, Will wouldn't be able to sit still. It's boring. Movies supposed to be entertaining. God forbid we think in depth and, like, you know, actually wild like
strawberries.
Yeah, like, yeah, wild strawberries in like my top 25. I love wild strawberries. But could you imagine Will watching wild strawberries? Like, it's never gonna happen. And I always rag on Will with this stuff because he would sit here and laugh and be like, yeah, you love artsy fartsy, you're an idiot. But you know, there's a lot of people who aren't going to sit down and watch Wild Strawberry. So I always go back to the Hello Ladies episode for anybody who ever watched that Stephen Merchant show where they have the girls' night and the one woman is really tired of girls' night just being like mindless girl stuff. And so she says, we're going to do a movie night. We're all going to sit down. We're going to watch a movie. So she decides to pick a great movie, air quotes, and she picks Battleship Potemkin, and it's all these like 25 to 35 year old women watching a 1920s black and white silent Russian movie trying to drink wine and like have a nice time. You got to know where you're starting here, and that's where like Vanuatu can fit into one of my favorites, but I'm not necessarily going to say anything and say let's start there, because sometimes you only get 10 movies to really convince somebody like, hey, I have good taste in movies. So it's not necessarily here's my 10 favorite, but here's 10 that I think are great that maybe you haven't seen, or maybe you should watch, or maybe that'll give you a sense of what my taste truly is. And I think that with Survivor seasons, it kind of is similar. It's like, if you want to get hooked on Survivor, you got to have 10 that hit right off the bat. Then you start going into, here's what I think you should watch next, and here's what you think you should watch next. I have these 50 seasons in order. This is in no way, shape, or form based on what seasons I actually find to be great. Because I have one season that is maybe the worst thing ever put to film in the history of film on my list, way higher than 50th. Because I think it's actually valuable to watch before you watch another season. So I am ready to break this down. I am ready to get into it. Blake, I got to ask you. So let's start it off right here. What is the first season you would tell somebody to watch? What is the first season? I want to see if we nail this and get it together.
One by one.
No, we're not going one by one by one. That will not happen. I just want to see what, I mean, does it make sense to not start with the first? What is the one you would tell people?
The number one season, if you have one shot, I think you make people watch Pearl Islands and you get that opening scene of that is the best opening scene in the history of the show. It's one of the best of the best. It has all of the bests of like best intertribal conflict, best Mount Rushmore winner. We got ourselves like the best.
You can mention Sandra. That's fine.
Yeah. The most popular Survivor player of all time in Rupert. Like it's going to be catching like, oh, my mom watched it. My mom walked in and sat on the couch and there's something for her.
Yeah.
It's just Pearl Islands is everything I love about Survivor boiled down in one season. It's my favorite Survivor season ever. So it is something where it's like, if you watch this and you're like, I don't really understand it, cool. We can end it right now. We don't have to find you 26 other seasons to see what you like. If you like Pearl Islands, here's 26 more. If you don't like Pearl Islands, you don't like Survivor.
Here's my other thing. So Pearl Islands is also my number one. I think Pearl Islands, when I was thinking about this, I was like, what is truly the best season to start with? You get the one of the greatest villains of all time in Fair Play, if not the greatest villain. You get a great theme, as Daryl Seymour is saying here. You are also starting early enough that you're getting the important characters. Rupert, Sandra, Fair Play are all very important to the show, right? You're also getting one of the worst twists in the history of the show, but you're getting it early on in your viewing experience. So you're not as, it's not as jarring to you as it is to the rest of us who watch the first six seasons and then go, wait, this is unbelievably unfair. What's great about this is Pearl Island season 50 was the first fully returning player season to not feature somebody from Pearl Islands. So that's how good Pearl Islands is. So when you start with Pearl Islands, you get the old school feel, but there's actually phenomenal, phenomenal gameplay. Like you actually get a back and forth. So you're not going to get a boring pagonging. You get great characters. That opening, like you said, is absolutely amazing. And it introduces you to really important characters throughout the history of the show. So I agree with you. Pearl Islands is my number one. So we're not going to go through these one by one, but that's my number
Bring
one.
Bring back Burton for 50.
Dude, it's killing that they didn't, huh? Such BS. All right.
That was a final two season.
Yes.
You go first. That's a final two season. My other season with a final three, the second best season of all time to show somebody, in my opinion, is China.
Okay. So this is perfect. So I go China next as well. So this is, we did not do this on purpose. We need to see how long we're actually going to go before we differentiate.
It's going to end immediately because of my.
Yeah. Opinion. Okay. Cause you're going to be an idiot and go Panama next. Okay. Yeah. I could already see, I can see your paper, I guess the reflection in your broken headphone is too good for me. No, so I think China is perfect. And here's the thing. My list, and I'm going to go through my 10 row. I'm going to go through my first couple here because I think it makes more sense than going one by one. I go Pearl Islands because it introduces, you already talked about that. Then I go China because with China, you get James, you get Amanda. You also are getting the normal version of the idol, right? So you're not getting the Gary version, the Terry version, the Yule version. You're getting the normal version. Now, the normal version first appears in Fiji. We don't need to watch Fiji before we get into some of these other seasons. Fiji can wait. So I start with Survivor. I go to Survivor China second. I actually go to Micronesia after that because I don't think that you need to watch Parv's first season before watching Micronesia. I don't think you need to watch Cherie's first season before watching Micronesia. I think that they're both so impressive in that it makes sense to just go into Micronesia. You see Fair Play one more time, somebody you saw back in season 7. You're getting James and Amanda, so you understand that storyline. Now you can watch Parv and Cherie, and you can see how this season is going to unfold. I don't think you need to see Amy. I don't think you need to see Penner. I don't think you need to see Ozzy. You get what those people are all about by watching this season. Some people would say go to Cook Islands. I think Cook Islands is too boring to go to watch this early on, and that's why those are my first three. And then after that, I jump to Token Chains because I think Token Chains is unbelievably important to the history of the show. You get Tyson, you get JT, you get Steven, you get Coach, you get a bunch of other characters that aren't there. And that gives you this kind of return to basics, but there's still idols. There's Exile Island. There's all these things that are introduced that are important for you to know. And so, yeah, my first four, Pearl Islands, China, Micro, and Token Chains. And I'm still kind of going in a little bit of a chronological order through the first four.
Okay. My third, and I these aren't technically in order, but well, it was cool that we had the same two first ones. I do think Exile Island is important because I don't have Micronesia in that first little bit. I think it's Exile Island explains Exile Island, which will be a major thing in a lot of these seasons. And you'll be like, oh, I remember that from that season. Once again, it's another tribal division that's different. Instead of two tribes of two, it's two tribes of four. We go down to it. We have some of the most amazing characters, some of the most amazing tribes. I think all three of those initial things, Pearl Islands in China and Exile Islands, teach you you care about tribes. Do you care about individual people? And maybe that's how I personally watch Survivor. But if I'm trying to be like, yes, I love Michael Jordan, but if he had gotten traded to the Atlanta Hawks, would I have bought an Atlanta Hawks jersey? Would I have moved to Atlanta? No. It's like, I care about the Bulls, and Michael Jordan's my favorite player. I care about Kasaya, and Ceri's my favorite on Kasaya or whatever. Mm-hmm. So those three seasons are my favorite with that. Kagyan follows that thought process of now there's three tribes. And now of these four things that I do, none of those have like controversial winners. None of those have there's a sixth one. There's China, which is what China does. And then XL Islands and Kagyan are like this person won and it makes sense. And there's no kind of issues. Is there any?
Why would you? Here's a question for you.
Cool.
Why do Panama after China?
Just because I think if I only have two, let me get you through these first two.
Yeah, China's because just better.
I think the winner of China is a, oh my God, that was amazing. That I think everyone in the community has agreed on that you would want to do that. And like, I think the winner of Pearl Islands and the winner of China are so different in how they win that it's like, oh, you can do the I'm the last person standing, or you can be like, I maneuvered everyone in front of the gun that shot them.
So you're going, and then you're going to Kagyan. So you're jumping all the way to Kagyan after that, and you're skipping like heroes, villains, and all that because you're giving us another newbie season.
I mean, if they're in the top 10, but they're not, if we're doing a certain order, it's like, I think it, because if you go through three of these and you're like, God, this is so frustrating. These are all old seasons. Boom, Kagyan hits you at four, and you're like, okay, this is.
Yeah,
I look at this HD, and that was important for some people in the on the right of like, what if it's not HD? That has never bothered me, even watching the old season. I don't know if it's like, Blake, you're nostalgic for it, and like a 10-year-old right now can't watch standard definition television. That'd be kind of sad, but it's like, I remember watching shit that was 30 years older than me as a 10-year-old, where it's like Hogan's Heroes and like the Munsters. It's like I'm watching stuff.
It also doesn't bother us because we watch VHSs, man. Like, we suffered. We went through, we watched the box TV where, like, I'm looking at my phone right now, half watching the World Cup, which is at halftime. Don't worry, everybody. But, like, I'm half doing that, and I have a better view than we did on the box TV watching Sunday football back in the day. And we used to watch movies on that. And you wonder, like, why didn't American audiences watch more movies with subtitles? I don't know, because they couldn't see them because the screen was the size of my pinky. So, anyway, I hear where you're going with that. So my whole thing is, my initial charge here is to build up to heroes versus villains. So I start with Pearl Islands, I go China, I go Micronesia, I go Token Chains. If you're hooked after those four and you want to keep going, now I'm taking a step way back because I think it's so important for heroes versus villains. And I'm going with Australia. Now you could say, well, why don't you put Australia a little bit earlier? Because I don't think Australia is good enough to hook you on the show anymore. I think it was good back in the day, but I don't think it hooks you anymore. But I think that Jerry and Colby are so important to Survivor, and understanding them before you get into heroes versus villains is simply too important. And so you need to have that. So for me, I go Australia, then I come all the way back and I go to Samoa. That's the fifth one I would have you do. And then at six, I get you into heroes versus villains right off the bat. I'm sorry, that's seven. So it's Pearl Islands, China, Micronesia, Token Chains, Australia, Samoa, heroes versus villains. So heroes versus villains, I have you watching seven because I think you need to see Sandra first. I think you need to see Colby and Jerry first. I think you need to see Rupert first. You see JT, you see Coach, you see Tyson, you see all these important characters to the story. And then you go right from Russell into heroes versus villains. And I think Russell and Heroes versus Villains need to be watched back to back so you can see how Russell changed Survivor and then how Russell literally just like ate up all this screen time on this next season. And I think that's important. So those are my first seven. And I think that's the best way to build to Heroes versus Villains because you see all the important characters at least once. Sure, you don't see Tom. You don't see Stephanie. You don't see Candace. You don't see Danielle. Okay. And you don't see Sugar and Randy, which like nobody remembers that they were there anyway, except for us, because we love Gabon. But I say skip those, get to Heroes Villains 7. And if you're not like, oh my God, this is the greatest show of all time at that point, I don't know what else to do.
Okay, so I have a little bit different strategy, because you did 5 through 8, or did you go all the way through 10?
I went through 7. So Heroes versus Villains is my 7th season that I'm showing to somebody.
Gotcha. That works for me. So my 5, 6, and 7 are Gabon, Token Sheens, and David versus Goliath. And here's what I'm doing on purpose. I am trying to put you through as many seasons of as many. There's characters everywhere throughout the whole season. Like Gabon has some of the funniest people alive. Token Sheens has Coach and some of the funniest people alive and some of the biggest heroes and villain. Like that's going to come around in a second. And then David versus Goliath has Angelina. And like, it's something where I'm saying all those figureheads of it, but literally from top to bottom, I think Gabon, Token Sheens, and David versus Goliath, like Gabon is a little, there's some bad people on the cast, but like they get owned. And
not bad enough.
It's something where all of those people are fun to watch in this game. There's not a single like weak, there's some bad people on Token Sheens too, but like the boot orders, I guess is what I'm saying, is it's a fun season to watch because the entertaining people make it to the end. They own everybody on the way there, and there's some like interpersonal conflict that makes Survivor of like, why is Tyson so mean to these people? It's like, you better get used to that, because there's going to be some worse than that, and there's going to be some people that are like, well, not as worse as that. But I think Gabon, Token Sheens, and David versus Goliath are all like good enough seasons for people to watch, find someone to latch onto, and be like, this is very fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's really fair. And I was trying to go with more of telling the story of Survivor. Like, what seasons could you watch or skip that would be there? But, like, it was hard for me not to put Gabon in this first stretch, because I think Gabon is absolutely incredible. I mean, that's one of my favorite seasons of all time. And I think most people would... I think that the negativity from some of the players might push people out of it. But I think most people who are looking for reality TV drama, Gabon is what you're looking for. I think that some Survivor fans at this point are just kind of soft. No offense to our listeners here. And I think some of them like get too turned off by negativity. I think negativity is really what brought Survivor to the forefront a lot. I mean, like Boston Rob built his whole legacy on kind of being an asshole. And I know people mention Boston Rob. I don't show him before Heroes Villains. I have a reason for that. That happens later. I think Heroes versus Villains being your first introduction to Boston Rob, you get enough information right there. You don't need more than that. And I think going back to a Marquesas or going back to All Stars, it ruins the flow. And I don't think it's necessary. I think Australia is more palatable. I think people enjoy that season more than Marquesas. For the most part, I think that Colby and Jerry are more important to Heroes versus Villains than Boston Rob is. I know that he's such a big character while he's there, but he's simply just not there long enough. But I like what you're saying. I mean, you're going more of the character route. I'm going to round out my first 10 that I would show right now. And then we can kind of like review this and you know, spell this out a little bit. Because I know when you're listening to this, it might be a lot. People could say, use some visual cues. Well, at the same time, like there's a lot of people who are just listening to the audio version of this probably, and there's no visual cues there. So here's how I'm going to end it. So number 7 is Heroes versus Villains. So I've only shown you seasons through the first 20 for my first 7 seasons. Now, after Heroes versus Villains, we can start getting into it. And now I'm showing you what I think are the 3 best seasons post Heroes versus Villains that you have to watch. And that is Kageyan next at 8. Because if you love Heroes Villains, you're going to want to watch more of that. Kageyan is the closest thing we have to Heroes versus Villains. Then I'm going Ko Rong, because that is also a Heroes versus Villains type season. A little more chaos. You get your really satisfying winner in Tony. You get the more questionable winner maybe for some people in Michelle. And then I am going David versus Goliath like you. And David versus Goliath would be the 10th season I would show, because David versus Goliath is excellent. And David versus Goliath sets you up. If that's your 10th season, have you seen all of those other seasons? David versus Goliath sets you up now that you can go anywhere, because it's advantage get in. There's so many twists and random stuff and whatever in that season. You get 2 tribes going to 3, you get all these different things, but you can keep you can take David's Goliath. You can move into the 40s after that. You could go back and watch some of the earlier seasons if you wanted to. You go watch stuff in the 20s. You can really go any direction you want. Now, I pick a direction for you in my next up portion of this, but I am saying David vs. Goliath at number 10. Because I think after you get through those first seven, you've got the history of Survivor. Now you just want to have a good time. You're going Kageyan, you're going Korong, you're going David vs. Goliath. One thing I love about summer is how easy everything feels. The days are a little more relaxed and I find myself reaching for the same comfortable go anywhere pieces again and again. That's why I keep coming back to Quince. They focus on well-made essentials that naturally become those everyday staples you actually live in all season long.
Quince's 100% European linen pants and shirts are breathable, easy to throw on, and a summer upgrade your rotation needs, starting at just $34. And Phil, I told you this before, but I don't often wear linen shirts or linen pants. But now that I have them from Quince, I find myself going back to them time and time again, whether it's an upscale outdoor event or if I'm just hanging by the beach or at the pool, I'm reaching for these shirts all throughout the summer. Also, their tees are soft enough to live in all day, and the lightweight cotton sweaters are exactly what you want when summer nights cool down. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middlemen, so you're paying for exceptional quality, not brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become a trusted favorite for everything from home to travel to everyday essentials.
Make your summer wardrobe easier. Go to quince.com/specialist for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/specialist with an S at the end for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/specialists. Your paycheck date could soon become the most irrelevant number in your life. Earnin is a non-bank finance app, 5 million people and growing. The concept is almost annoyingly simple. You earn money, you access it. Up to $150 per day of what you've already worked for, up to $1,000 between paychecks. Tips are optional and standard transfers take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees. Expedited transfers start at $3.99 and cap at $5.99. It's not about emergencies. It's just a better way to exist financially day to day. Worth checking out. Look, you all know I wear a lot of hats, and nothing annoys me more than waiting for money that I earned while due dates inch closer and closer. I did the work, so what's taking so long? We live in an era of instant gratification, so why don't we demand instant access to our money? The most essential thing we need to participate in society is the thing we wait for the most. That's absurd. End the absurdity today. Download Earnin on the App Store or Google Play, spelled like earning money without the G. Type in the specialist under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Access limits are based on your earnings and risk factors. Standard cash outs take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees. Expedited transfers available for a fee. Tips are voluntary and don't affect the service. Available in select states. Terms and restrictions apply. Visit earnin.com for full details.
Got it. And now I think we're doing like some flips. I have Micronesia, Philippines, and Heroes versus Villains. Let me do Philippines first, so you don't get the idea of All Stars until it's time. Philippines, I think, is another one where it's like, these are some of the most insane characters possible. I'm realizing now, wow, do I really like people more than I do I like Twist? And it's not just the evolution of the game. I think it's more of like, I like people. I like when they interact with each other, and I like when they strategically vote each other out. There's some of all that in this part. But Philippines, I think, is very interesting to watch one of the strongest alliances of Denise and Malcolm not turn on each other. And I think that was really important for me to watch for Big Brother. And I know I bring that up every once in a while, but like watching the third season of Big Brother have the best duo of all time, and then everybody try to emulate that for 10 years. It's like, if you want to have a duo to emulate of, how would you do on Survivor? It's like, people have tried to do Malcolm and Denise. They bring it up in other seasons. I think that's important for you to watch. And then let's say Micronesia and Heroes versus Villains are the like, and then here's your payoff. These are the really good seasons that, because you watch these other eight, you know how Survivor works. And it isn't like Micronesia is the second season you watch where you're not exactly sure what Suri did to that person. You're not exactly sure what Parvati did to these people. You understand the game. You've seen some bad idol plays. You've seen some bad other plays. You've seen some people draw dead in these other seasons. But now that you have all that context, Micronesia and Heroes Villains have a way to hit you because you know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense. So run through your first 10 again, and then also type it into the chat
I'll get right on that. Pearl Islands, China, XL Island, Cagayan, Gabon, Tocantins, David versus Goliath, Philippines, Micronesia, and Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that makes sense. So you're going the route of, I'll wait a little bit before we get to Micronesia. Like, right, like we're not going to go straight into it. I just went straight into Micronesia. You're kind of doing the, okay.
You're showing Godfather second and on yours. And I'm like, we need to watch some other shows. Like, Godfather's super sick, but I wouldn't show people that movie second of all time, you know?
Well, I think, though, that Godfather is, I think China and Godfather are a good comparison because there's people who will be like, yeah, it's good. Like, I get it. But maybe it's like not their favorite thing of all time. And that's why I can put China as early as I do. But I like your reasoning as well, because you're going for like entertainment, but you're saving some for later. See, where I'm like, no, these are the first 10. I have my tiers. As I said, it's like first 10, next up, Survivor History. If you have time and you can skip, and like the can skip category, there's one in there that people are going to be like, you're out of your freaking mind. But there's another one in there where I'm the rest of them. It's like, yeah, this is for the completionist. This is for like, I want to watch every season of Survivor, but I'm not going to sit down and say, you got to watch this now. There's one season, though, again, that's coming up soon that you're all going to be like, Phil, how did you put this in? So I like where our heads are at. I like where our heads are at on this. I like that we're going with different approaches, but it's kind of like, do you want to go the entertainment route? Or do you want to go more of like the story of Survivor route and then kind of like, Look, as people will understand here, if you are a diehard Survivor fan, which you're listening to this at this point, you probably are. I'm really getting the cream of the crop out of the way pretty early here. Like there's not as many. I'm putting a lot of my top 10 into this first 10, I guess I should say. Yeah. So anyway, that's my first 10.
Bro, Blake, I had to look up three. I had to look up three different seasons to know what number they were.
Come on. I'm freaking rusty. You're a specialist. Yeah, Philippines is the only one that I didn't really consider for here, because Philippines, I just was like, you know what? We can get to that when we get to that, because ultimately, like, Malcolm, Denise, you know, that's a later version of Penner. Russell Swan, I feel like you got to get the Russell Swan thing in first, even though why he's there. So, yeah, I get what you're saying, though. I guess what you're saying. Lehigh Valley Bear says, you realize you need to do a follow-up seasons to avoid. I mean, we're about to get there. We're not done yet. All right. My next up tier. So I'm going to run through these. I think we should each like do our 10 and discuss it rather than the chaos of like trying to do like one, two, or three. I think it made sense for the first group. But this next tier is a buildup, in my opinion, to Survivor Season 50. That's where I'm taking you. So I want to take you through some of the new era seasons. Now you've seen the best of the best from the old seasons. And now I'm taking you through and showing you the story of like, this is what new age Survivor really looks like. So I am going Blood versus Water as season 11. Then I'm going into San Juan del Sur at season 12. I'm going Survivor Cambodia Second Chance as season 13. And the reason I'm doing that is Blood versus Water, I think, is excellent. I love that season. You get Sierra, you get Tyson again, you get all these different players who are impactful. You don't need to rewatch. You've already seen Candace play once. You've seen Rupert play once. You don't need to see all the One World people play. You don't need to see Jervis play the first time. You can get the idea, because Blood versus Water is actually a season that does a good job of telling the story of the people who aren't the returning players. So I'm going Blood versus Water as the first one here. And I think it kind of kicks off the big moves era. You get Sierra saying that word a lot. Then we do Blood versus Water too. I think San Juan del Sur, I've talked about this, I think it's a way lower tier season than that, but I think it's so important for you to see Jeremy, to see Natalie, to see Keith, to see Kelly Wentworth first. And then we get into Cambodia, Second Chance. I think that one, you know, you haven't seen everybody who's playing on Second Chance at this point, but you've seen enough of them. And a lot of the people who make it pretty far. You've seen the Kageon people. You've seen Sam Wandel, sir. I don't think you need to watch Worlds Apart to know what Joe Anglim is all about. You've seen Savage, so you're seeing his second chance. We still haven't gotten a Terry's second chance, but it's so short-lived here, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so that's where I'm going. And then I go Millennials versus Gen X. Okay, so now you're getting here's what Survivor looks like after Cambodia. Because I think Millennials versus Gen X, and we've been talking about this on Every Season Matters, I think is the ultimate transitional season of Survivor. Survivor was a more negative casting. We want villains. We want this different stuff. Cambodia came around, became more about gameplay. And that's when Millennials versus Gen X came out. And Millennials versus Gen X became like, oh, we're all just hunky-dory. Everybody's having a nice time. Dave, we're so proud of you for going on your journey. Good job, buddy. They're playing the game really hard, but they're a little bit nicer to each other. And I think that's really important to see before you kick off seeing some of the newer era seasons. Then I go to 45, and then I go to 46. So you watch those back-to-back. You skip the first four seasons of the new era. They're not important to 50 at all. You get to see D play. You get to see all this other stuff between like the 45 cast, and you get to see how D dominates that. You get to see Emily flipping. That's important. And then we do season 46 because that one's just a hell of a lot of fun. And I just want to make sure 46 is in there. You get Q, you get Tiffany, you get Charlie, who all come back to play 50. Then I go Panama, Cook Islands, 49, and then 50. Because now you finally get to see the first version of Suri, the first version of Ozzy, the first version of Parv, who doesn't play on 50. But like, you have to see the first version of Suri and Ozzy in order to really appreciate what takes place on 50, in my opinion. So I'm getting you to 50 quick because now you can start watching live. You're up to date with everything that's happened. And so that 10 for me, Blood vs. Water, San Juan del Sur, Cambodia, Millennials vs. Gen X, 45, 46, Panama, Cook Islands, 49. So you get Rizzo and Savannah. Rizzo's too important to 50 to not show him in 49. And then season 50. Blake, you were shaking your head so early in that 10-minute speech. What do you got for me?
I think you're doing great.
I mean, what do you think about that? You don't just get to go right into your list. What do you think about that?
I think that's pretty smart idea of like, I like what you said of we have to do certain things before we go to other ones. Like you said a lot, so it's hard to latch on to certain things. I was also doing my list in between because I was like, okay, we're having some of the same ones, but you go way further away than me. I do in this stuff too. So, you have to type them too, so I can make sure what exactly I'm responding to as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Wait, Blake, that would require you to listen, right?
No. What I'm saying is...
Yeah, Blake, guys, by the way, I'm the one watching Norway.
We had Blood versus Water and San Juan del Sur. I have those as my, 13th and 14th. So I was like, holy crap, we're about to be the same and again. But I don't go new era till my third note card of 10 stuff. So
okay.
I'm kind of like, I like where you're going with that. I don't know if it's worth saying my stuff right now, but I think it's worth doing some of the original 10. And I think that is a very much who I am though as well. Like obviously this is going to be very personal to everyone, but I had the most fun from seasons 12 through 20. So that's why a lot of those were in the first one. But then whenever I think about like, where do I go from there? Did I have a lot of fun from 20 through 30? No. Did I have that much fun between 30 and 40? Well, there's some really good seasons, but would I show those right away? And it is, I think, a revert back to what's good through 1 through 10 first, that now that you have my first 10 things, you could enjoy these.
Well, feels. Go. Since you didn't respond to mine, because you would have had to have read, St. Clippo says 46 and 47, not 45 and 46, in my opinion. I thought about that. The reason why I didn't do 46 and 47 is because I don't think 47 is important enough to understanding, like, you truly don't need to watch 47 to be able to watch another season of Survivor. Like, I know Genevieve is there, but that's it. And so if you notice, every season I'm talking about here, with the exception of Millennials versus Gen X, it's like I'm building up what newer Survivor's going to be like. Blood vs. Water, San Juan del Sur, Cambodia, Millennials vs. Gen X. Then I get into here's what's important to know for season 50 from 45, 46, Panama, Cook Islands, 49. Like I like 47 more than 45 and 46 and 49 and 50. But if I'm trying to bring you up to date with Survivor and what new Survivor is so that you can start watching along live now, it makes more sense to show 45 and 46 because Emily and Dee are just simply more important than what is taking place. 47, Survivor and producers just decided 47 didn't really matter.
Why? Okay, so here's my second group of 10. I said Amazon, Vanuatu, Blood versus Water, San Juan del Sur, Koh Rong, Cambodia, Marquesas, Palau, Guatemala, and Cook Islands. And here's why.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear that reason.
I think with my base of those first 10, each one of the seasons I'm kind of saying right now is like not gimmicky, but men versus women seasons. Did you like that one? Well, here's another men versus women seasons where what happened the first time doesn't happen the second time. Isn't it crazy that these both happened in the first 10 seasons of the show? And then Blood versus Water, I think, is the most dynamic twist outside of All-Star seasons. I know it's half All-Stars. It's the most dynamic half All-Star season as well. Blood versus Water is the most dynamic twist. So I did both of the man versus woman seasons, but so kind of was Exile Island. But and then I'm doing both of the Blood versus Water seasons because I really enjoy that. And I think that's the way somebody that could get on there. If you went on Survivor, would you go on or would you go on with a family member? It's more likely you go on with a family member, right? You could do that with somebody mentally of like, would we be good on Survivor together? Then Koh Rong is fantastic. One of the best seasons that I've watched in like the last 10 of our rewatches. Cambodia gets all those people that you're very aware of in this era because you watch Cambodia, you watch San Juan del Sur and Cagayan already. Cambodia is the second best all-star, third best all-star season, and I had the first two already. Marquesas is where we go sideways, but yeah. Marquesas is my favorite season ever, and I think it's something where it's like, you can't, I don't know, this should be probably Australia, but like Marquesas is my favorite old school one. And I think at that point, it's like, have we had an under the radar person win on any of these flashy seasons? Like maybe we want to do that. Why is Palau here? Palau is here because this is the weirdest season of Survivor of all time. I think I have been talking to somebody who's been rewatching and giving them seasons to watch every once in a while. I said, how about you try number 10? And she was literally like, this is the most insane shit ever. But I think it is important to not watch this completely all the way at the end because it's so crazy what happens. And then Guatemala and Cook Islands, it kind of looks like I'm doing 10, 11, 12, like I ran out of stuff to think. But like Palau, Guatemala, and Cook Islands, you get the first version of Steph, you get the second version of Steph, and then go ahead and just like, all right, and here's where Survivor kind of jumped the shark and everyone freaked out. Yeah. Like this is the race season. And Cook Islands is 13, my bad. I knew that.
I have Steph coming up here shortly in a second, but I like where what you're saying. Like you're putting Marquesas in because you want to have Marquesas. So my next grouping is kind of where I get into more of these seasons where I'm like, I just really like this one. And then the one after that, it's more of like a chaotic, I love these seasons or I hate this season. But I'm trying to keep it like somewhat realistic for people. And I like that you're like, okay, you have to watch 10 and 11 back to back. So you have to figure that out. I see people sitting here right now. Fenderman says no EOE before 50. Daryl Seymour says, Phil, you can't miss 38 before 50. I think you can. And my reason for that is at this point with how I have it set up, you saw the first version of Aubrey, right? Now you're not getting the full story of Aubrey by the end of this, but her Game Changers game, she's not there that much. Edge of Extinction, I don't think is a season that's actually worth showing somebody all that early on because they're going to be like, what is this season of Survivor? I know it has Devins and I know it has Aubrey. I know they both come back for 50. You know what Devins is all about the first time he opens his mouth on Survivor 50. You're going to fall in love with Devins because of Devins trip, hiding the idol when Christian trips and falls. I don't think you need to see a version of Devins before that. My wife loves Devins and has not gotten to Edge of Extinction yet. And so I think you're okay moving past that. And in terms of the Aubrey storyline, yeah, it's a nice redemption arc, but to me, like they don't tell the arc well enough. Like the only thing they focus on in season 50 really is her losing to Michelle. So if that's the story that they're going to focus on, that's the story that I'm going to focus on as well. And I already have you watching Ko Wrong, and now you're watching season 50. So I don't think you need to watch the rest.
True.
Are you going to type yours in, Blake? Or you got to look up numbers?
No, I found the numbers already.
Found them, everybody. He found them.
I did screw up Cook Island's number for a second.
He's the one over here making fun of Hunter for not knowing how to put the winners in order. And yet Blake doesn't even know what number seasons were.
Blake's second group of 10. Okay.
Here he goes.
9, 27. I mean, are there any of those where you're like, bro, that would be so wrong to do?
No, I mean, I like it. I think you're I love Vanuatu. I think you're probably a little early on Vanuatu. And my reason for saying that is just because, like, you know, Vanuatu is one of those seasons where people are either going to love it or hate it. And I think it gets better on a rewatch. So I think, like, doing it this early, you're not going to, like, go back and rewatch it after that. Ko Wrong before Cambodia is funny because that's how it was meant to be. And if you're not going to show Worlds Apart, that's how it should be. Marquesas is just so out of nowhere, though. Like, you're just throwing Marquesas in to throw Marquesas in because you're like, oh, my favorite season.
I mean, it's sick as hell, and you're going to love it. And I don't have any justification for it, really. But it's something where it's like, if I would probably, to my friend, go, how many of you watch? The other thing that cannot be understood, I know it's, I'm always the person who brings it up. This is never a Phil thing. Hey, I'm trying to get someone to watch a show. Boston Rob is hot as fuck on Marquesas. And that's kind of like, hey, if you want some eye candy, there's eye candy seasons would be way different. But why is Marquesas on there? Like, oh, you're trying to watch this with a girlfriend or your aunt or your mom. Like, them getting to watch Boston Rob for 6 weeks is pretty cool.
St. Clivo says it's not even your favorite season on every season.
And St. Clivo is not even my favorite commenter on every commenter matters either.
All right. So this next one, we're in the middle now. So we've gone through 20. And again, I'm trying to take my personal preference out because I understand that the seasons I love aren't necessarily the seasons that everybody else loves. So this next one I'm calling Survivor History, air quotes. Now, my 30th season that I'm showing people is Winners at War. Okay. Here's how I'm building up to Winners at War. You all just got done watching 49 into 50. So now you've seen Stephanie LaGrosa play and you're like, I don't really understand why. Okay, where do I go from here? I'm taking you back to Palau. Okay. You're going to Palau, then you're going Guatemala. You're watching three straight seasons of Stephanie. You're seeing why Stephanie became a star, at least in season 10. I'm going to have you watch Guatemala after that because it gives you an old school flavor and it's allowing me to show some of the older seasons that I love. After that, I'm going to show you Amazon because I think coming off of Palau and Guatemala, Amazon will hit a little bit softer. I know some people try to say that the season's misogynist, that it didn't age well, whatever. Again, it's literally, it was made in 2003. The people on there were the cool people in 2003. We talked about this in the last season. I think Amazon is unbelievably entertaining. I very much enjoy Survivor Amazon. And I think people need to realize, like, hey, you're getting a time capsule of how people were acting in 2003. So I'm going to Amazon there because I think the gameplay starts to step up to another level. And so you get to see Rob Cesternino finally. So if you want to listen to a podcast or something, you can go do that. And then I'm going to go from Amazon to Gabon because you're going from Amazon where the gameplay was shifting and back and forth. And it might not seem super impressive as you're watching it now, but you're getting the Survivor history. And then you're going to watch Gabon because Gabon is just pure chaos. And it is one of the most entertaining seasons and it's great. Then you're going to watch Philippines. I'm finally throwing Philippines in here because I think it's important to show another Penner season. You know, you get and really, when you were talking about with Denise and Malcolm earlier, that's like when I'm talking about Survivor history. You're getting to see this pair that runs through the game, the old and the young, and this odd couple that people didn't expect to work. So I'm going to do that with Philippines. Then, because I'm building the Winners at War, also, that is why you get Denise in here, I'm going to Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, because I do think that the winner of that season is very important to Winners at War. And you need to have an understanding of how they played the first time so you can have an understanding of what they're going to do on Winners at War. Then because I can think logically and I know where to put seasons. I'm going to go Marquesas. This is a brutal stretch for me, everybody. Okay. So just understand. I told you all, this is not because I like these seasons. This is simply because I think it makes the most sense when watching. I'm going to go Marquesas. Then I'm going to go Ass All-Star Season. And then I'm going to go with the only thing worse than being like, I don't know, having like scalding hot water dumped on your foot because you spilled the tea kettle, which is Redemption Island. And then I'm going to do Winners at War. And my whole thing with this is, at this point, you're already 25 seasons in by the time we hit Philippines. You're going to watch Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, and then you're going to watch the story of Boston Rob. You're not going to see the story of Boston Rob and Heroes, Villains. You've already seen that. But you're going to remember Boston Rob. You're going to watch him in Marquesas. You're going to watch him where he should have won in All-Stars. You're going to watch him get his win in Redemption Island. And then you're going to watch Winners at War. And I think it's important to watch the Boston Rob seasons before that, because you're also going to have Amber on the season. I know you don't have the winner of Marquesas on there, but you need the whole story of him. So I am putting Redemption Island as the 29th season in order that you should watch, because I think it simply makes sense. And you get to see in Winners at War people talking about the buddy system and why it doesn't work. And now you're going into Winners at War and you're seeing what it was for pretty much every important winner on that season and how they won and how they played. And I know there's a couple that I haven't shown you yet, but for the most part, I've shown you everybody, or you've at least seen them play once. The only, I think, winner at that point that you wouldn't have seen. No, you've seen pretty much every one of them, I think, play once. So that's the route I'm going there. Blake, are you mad that I put Redemption Island in there?
I'm furious.
I'm mad.
I just don't even like that. I think that's pretty good too. Great job. Write it down so I know exactly what you're talking about. Dude, no.
So when did you stop listening? Be honest.
No. I'm writing mine at the same time. No, I liked what you were doing of, because you're doing some of the stuff I'm doing, but I already did it. So it is funny that you're like, and now that you've seen Survivor 50, let's tell you more about Stephanie LaGrosse. Like, I don't think anybody's coming out of 50 being like, poor Stephanie. She was so compelling, and I just need to know more about her. So, like, I also, this is where we talked about this earlier, Blake and Phil, so you're going to get a little peek behind the curtain. I was like, I kind of only want to do 20. Not because I'm lazy, but because I'm more like, hey, at this point, you should have some of your own confidence. What do you like about Survivor? You can figure this out, not on your own. Like, I'm not excited to go through this with you, but like, after watching 20 seasons of Survivor, if you watched Phil's 20 or you watched Blake's 20, you should kind of have your own thoughts and your own opinions about this stuff, and then go, ooh, I don't want to do that, or I want to watch more modern, and then trust yourself. Because if you watch Love, if you watch Pride and Prejudice, I hate that shit. But your mom, you could literally, it's her favorite movie. And it's like, you should watch more Jane Austen movies and find more people with Keira Knightley. Go for it. That's signpost of, I love this director. I love this type of twist. I know we're sticking in this movie analogy, but after 20 seasons of this, no, figure it out yourself, kind of, and go with what you're going to go with. So that's where I was kind of not shut down completely, but more like, are you going to care specifically about what I put 38 versus 39 on this? Or is it kind of like, this is what I would do in waves? And it's kind of cool to be like, okay, I've seen 12 of these seasons already. Let me go through Phil's list. Let me go through Blake's list. Where's the first one on their list that I haven't seen? That's probably how you're going to consume this, rather than stick to one list or the other. And you're not going to compare lists, or Blake's list is better than Phil's list. Like, that's not what we're doing.
Well, it is.
Phil's list is better than Blake's. We're more showing, like, you need, hey, pay attention. Like, if you have liked Survivor and you're 10 seasons in, are these the 10, or did you watch some bad seasons? Because follow us. So with that in mind, my 21 through 30 that I'm going to choke down and do anyway, here we go. 45, 46, 47, 49. The four best seasons.
I thought you were counting. What happened?
Nope. Those are the seasons.
Wow. What happened? You're missing one there. You're missing Will's favorite season.
I said 45, 6, 46, 47, and 49. Mm-hmm. I did that on purpose. those are the four best seasons of the new eras, in my opinion. Might as well watch them chronologically so they don't spoil them, just in case. And I think those are, hey, this is what Survivor is now. And that'll let you know, like, you've probably watched some of these new era seasons. That's why you're even interested in this in the first place. So you maybe go, oh, I've already seen those. Great. But if you haven't, 45, 46, 47, 49 are the best of the new era to kind of tell you what Survivor is now, how it's going to work. These are the best winners of the new era. These are the funnest people of the new era. What you call it? If you're like, oh, I wish there was a male winner. It's, get over it, honey. It's 2026. All the winners of Survivor are girls now. And like, that's a fun joke for me. Then after those four, Edge of Extinction, because, oh, here's a weird ass season. Millennials versus Gen X. Here's like it's not bad, but it's not like Hallmark, one of the best seasons of all time, where it's literally at 25 in my thing. And then I was like, let's go back to the very beginning. Borneo, Australia, Africa feels more like a trio to me than a foursome. That's why I left Marquez already. Borneo, Australia, Africa, and then this 30th in with All Stars.
Yeah, and that makes sense there.
That gets you the newest era and the oldest era of Survivor with two random seasons in between.
Yeah.
Because if you watch 30 seasons and you didn't watch Edge or Millennials, I'd be kind of like, what? So that's kind of like where they fell there.
Yes. Yeah,
and then I don't want to do 41 through 50, or what is it? 31 through 50, because there's some bad seasons. But I'll listen to Phil this whole time and I'll agree or disagree.
Blake is going to now tune out. They just went to a hydration break, Blake. So there's really nothing beneficial for you to tune out for. No, I get what you're saying there. I would have done Millennials versus Gen X earlier. Edge of Extinction, I put lower because I do think it's so random. I don't think you need to watch that season. Like, the only returning player who was on that season who comes back again is Aubrey. I've already shown you at this point, I've shown you two versions of Aubrey. I've shown you the best version of Aubrey. I've shown you the winning version of Aubrey. Like, I've shown you Aubrey. I like doing 1, 2, and 3 in order to see kind of like the evolution of Survivor. I'm now, okay, so I'm into my next round here.
Well, you got to say, was that a good idea or a bad idea with everything I did?
I think it was pretty good. I mean, I think it's pretty good. You're going new era and then you're going the old school into All Stars. Like, I think that's good. I think at this point too, it's one of those where like, if you've made it this far, all I'm trying to do is guide you to like how the story would make sense. That's why I'm saying if you watch the first 20, watch Palau into Guatemala because the story makes sense. Watch Marquesas into All Stars, into Redemption Island, into Winners at War because the story makes sense. That's all I'm doing. Now I'm into the if you have time, air quotes. And this is essentially me saying these seasons aren't all that important to Survivor history. But some of these are my favorites, and I ranked them in order of what I think they are in terms of, like, entertainment value. Or at least, like, I'm alternating between new and old. So in this next section, I finally have you watching Vanuatu. If you've watched 30 seasons, you love Survivor, you should keep watching Survivor. Vanuatu is absolutely incredible. One of my favorite seasons of all time. I think it has the most satisfying story ever. So I want you to watch Vanuatu before you watch some of these bad seasons. Can't believe I told you to watch Vanuatu after Redemption Island, but again, I still just think it makes more sense with Winners at War. Then I say 47. So you're getting a new era season, probably the best new era season after watching what I think is the best old school season. Then I'm having you watch Africa. Because you haven't gotten to Africa yet, go watch an old school season where they just start putting it, the first tribe swap, all these different things. See these characters that you just watched in All Stars not too long ago. Big Tom, Ethan, Lex, Winners at War. You're getting them. You're getting somebody there. Then I'm going to 43 because I think 43 is great. I know that's not a popular opinion on the internet, but I love Survivor 43. So that's going to be my fourth one. Then I'm going to Worlds Apart. So you're getting a little bit older school, but it's not really old school. I also think Worlds Apart is supremely underrated. And at this point, you should be watching Worlds Apart. Then I'm doing Fiji because Fiji has some dynamic gameplay. And I do think Fiji is a very underrated season. Then I'm doing Karamoan. Get the second version of Fans vs. Favorites. You know, why am I putting this after Fiji? Because I am. Because I think you should watch Fiji before watching this one. I'm doing this wrong. I had that backwards. So I'm not doing Karamoan. I'm saying South Pacific after Fiji. You're doing South Pacific after Fiji, then you're doing Karamoan because you need to watch Cochrane both times. That's what we call Blake's favorite back-to-back stretch of Cochrane both times. Then I'm doing Game Changers. And then I'm doing, as my last one in this region, which was originally in the Can Skip region. But then I said, you know what? Let's throw it over here because I want to do five groups of 10. I'm doing Ghost Island because of the tie. And I think that that is just like so incredible. And it that is something that the seasons that I have lower don't really have. So I'm going to go with Ghost Island. So this stretch of 31 to 40 is Vanuatu, 47, Africa, 43, Worlds Apart, Fiji, South Pacific, Karamoan, Game Changers, Ghost Island. Essentially what I'm saying with those is some of those seasons are my favorites, but they're not going to really change your viewing experience of Survivor overall. And then there's other seasons in there where it's like, hey, there's a cool thing here or there that happens. You're not going to totally break your rhythm. And so that's why I'm doing that. What do you think, Blake?
I think you nailed it.
Yeah. So Blake, what were you, was it just like the monkey with the symbols? Is that what was happening?
No, we have so much in common on those. I was like, how do I even follow up this? It's just something where like, I don't take this ability or whatever lightly of you want us to guide you through this, but I promise you, everyone's favorite, like I would go every single person that's even in this chat, like what's your 45th or what's your 35th favorite season? Like the 31 through 40 is the most like could change every single minute of the day. Like I'm sure Phil has never written those numbers in that order in his entire life.
Yeah, but that's not my, those aren't my favorite seasons all though. Vanuatu is not my 31st favorite season. Vanuatu is in my top 10.
And what I'm saying about that is like, this is what's your least favorite 10 seasons? What's your favorite 10 seasons to show? Like this is promise you just go watch some stuff yourself. But like, okay, 47's a little low for me, bud. But all those other ones are like, yeah, we're just burning off seasons. Like anytime we're talking about Karamoan or not One World, what is it? Coach season, South Pacific. It's like anytime. Blake, you want to sign up and talk about South Pacific? It's like, no, figure out someone. You got to call Tegwith. Get her in here.
McKenna would say yes every time. And I have to stop. Whenever South Pacific comes up, I have to block McKenna's number for a week.
Yeah. So it's something where it's like, Blake, why are you being so facetious about this? Or why are you not engaging? It's more of just like, I thought this was your favorite thing. It's like, what is your 10 least favorite seasons of your baseball team? Or, oh, you really like Quentin Tarantino. Well, what about this one of his? And you're like, yeah, I don't rewatch that movie.
My thing is I gave you three stories of Survivor or like three versions. And I even said like Vanuatu 47, 43, those are like three phenomenal seasons to me. We just did Worlds Apart for the Patreon. I'm like, we love Worlds Apart. This has nothing to do with where I rank these seasons. It's just, what do you need to watch Vanuatu for before watching any of the other seasons? You don't. But now I'm into the stretch of these seasons don't actually matter. You've already watched the history of Survivor. Now I'm telling you, go watch the best season that doesn't really matter to any other seasons, and that's Survivor Vanuatu.
So this is for everyone watching that's actually looking in for advice. Follows Phil's advice because he is doing this not surreptitiously. So strongly in his brain to actually come up with something that I think it's worth following the Phil route.
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or sincere. No. It's really hard.
No. Great job, all right. Phil. I would never think this deeply about 31 through 40 because if I did this right now, my 31 through 40 would just be dumping off the last 10 seasons that aren't the worst 10 seasons.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I said that into a microphone, everyone would know what I think is the worst 10 seasons. And it's probably not behoove for us when we're trying to walk into parties where people from those seasons would be able to fight us.
Yeah. No, nobody from, it depends on if it's old school or new school, you know? All right. Now I'm into the completionist group.
When Grant Maddox walks up on you, you're fucked.
Grant Maddow's like, he's like chill, dude. He's like Zen playing steel drums. I don't think he's going to hurt me. I think we're good. All right. So now I'm into the completionist one. So here's what I have as the last 10 seasons. If you've watched 40 seasons of Survivor, go ahead and watch Borneo. Finally. Because Borneo really, if you're watching chronologically, great. If you're not watching chronologically, you don't need to watch Survivor Borneo until late. Because it is a boring version nowadays. We are 26 years removed. We talked about this. You said, Blake, you don't have to go watch the first movie that ever had sound. I watched The Jazz Singer not too long ago. That movie stinks. Okay, but it's the first movie with dialogue or whatever. So who cares? Lehigh Valley Bear says, wait a minute. Season four got three players on All-Star Season 8. Season four? Two. Yeah, it was only two. It was Kathy and Rob. But Borneo, the thing is, like, you can watch All-Stars and that's fine. You've watched 50. You've seen Jenna Lewis. Like, whatever. You don't need to watch Borneo at this point. So I'm waiting until here. Then I'm saying, if you're going to keep going, go to Thailand next. Because if you're watching the old school, clear out the old school here. Now you've seen all of the first 20 seasons of Survivor. You've seen Borneo. You've seen Thailand. Then I am going to season 48. And my reason for going to season 48 is because you're looking for familiar faces at this point. And season 48 has some familiar faces. You have Kyle. You have Camilla. You have Joe. Also, by the time you actually get to this point, they'll probably have done another returning player season. You're probably going to see other people from 48 come back on because for some reason production loves season 48. Then I'm going to say watch season 42 because now you have another player who makes a deep run on 50 and you get to see their initial version. And you're also seeing the better version of what New Era Survivor started off as. Then I am saying watch Survivor Nicaragua because Survivor Nicaragua is random. And I just say, screw it, watch Survivor Nicaragua now because it is more worth your time, in my opinion, than the seasons that follow. Then I am saying watch Survivor 44 because, sure, go for it. You want to see Carolyn. You want to see Jam Jam. You want to see Carson. You want to see how somehow that trio, nobody came back for season 50. Go ahead and check that out. Then I'm finally doing Edge of Extinction. And this is not because I think Edge of Extinction is the fourth worst season. I just truly think at this point you've suffered through Thailand and 48 and 42 and Nicaragua and 44. Give yourself a reprieve. Watch a season that can't even take itself seriously, that is pure nonsense for 12 of the 13 episodes. Enjoy Rick Devin shenanigans. Enjoy Wentworth and Wardog and Lauren and David. Enjoy the fact that Kama gets about six confessionals in the first nine episodes of that season. Just watch that season and then watch One World because One World stinks. And because none of the players, I know Monica's impactful to Blood versus Water, but you can get what Monica's all about. She becomes who she is.
You have to watch those four episodes.
Yeah. She becomes who she is on Blood versus Water, not on One World. One World is what One World is. Then watch Island of the Idols. Nobody's ever going to return from that season. Which is unfortunate because there's a lot of great casting choices on that season, but watch that. It's going to leave a terrible taste in your mouth because of how it all shakes out at the end, which is brutal. But you get to watch a season that has Rob and Sandra as figureheads, and you get to see these different players come out and play whatever. You're a completionist at this point. And then you should go do anything else with your life. Go on a run, go on a walk, go climb Mount Everest, see if you can go see the Titanic at the bottom of the ocean. Like, do anything else. And then watch season 41 and how Survivor was ruined in one fell swoop of the pen. And that's it. Yeah. St. Clippo says, make sure to include old Ponderosas before 41. Honestly, like, go watch the most boring seasons of The Amazing Race and then go watch season 41. Because once you watch season 41, some of you might like it. At this point, you've already seen all the New Era seasons. But season 41 is the season that totally changed the trajectory of Survivor for the absolute worst. And if there's a season that you're never going to watch, that should be the one because it should have never existed in the way that it was in the first place. So there you go, Blake. I'm going to read that off one more time. Borneo, Thailand, 48, 42, Nicaragua, 44, Edge of Extinction, One World, Island of the Idols, and 41. What do you think about that?
I think to be 100% honest, that sounds pretty good, but it is something where it's like, I probably would have been like, watch, my headphone looks crazy. Watch this episode of Big, watch the season of Big Brother first, or watch Australian Survivor, or have you thought about watching The Weakest Link maybe, or whatever. Like, if you're going to do this for completion's sake, this is the diehard area. Even some of your favorite podcasters have not watched all 50, including some that you see on our channel. Start pointing them out. There's no way some of these people have seen all 50 of the of our. Oh, I started 2 years ago. You're like,
I mean, there's so many of like the Instagrammers and TikTokers haven't seen every season. But most of the people that are going to argue with you that Brian Heidick isn't a good winner don't know who Brian Heidick is.
True. It is interesting. There's only a couple from the first 10 in here, but there's no. Is there one? Okay, there's nothing from the 10s to 11s here. So that's officially your favorite decade of
ten. 11 to 20 is the best stretch. Everybody knows that.
I just think it's something where you're like, do something out. Like, I'm not joking. You don't need to watch all 50 seasons of Survivor. And I would equate it to, would you rather watch Leprechaun 4, or would you go watch a baseball game with your family?
I own the first 5 Leprechaun box sets. So,
or would you rather go watch the Cleveland Cavaliers when LeBron's not there against something like that? There's certain things like you're never going to, nobody's ever going to care about the 2004 season of blank's bad team that year. There's some like that in Survivor too. Maybe it just didn't all go together. There were despicable people that made it to the end. Maybe we just were trying to do anything after COVID and we just were accepting whatever. There's some stuff where maybe you could skip those.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's essentially what I'm saying with this. I'm giving you, if you're a completionist, watch these. The grouping before this, I think there's a lot of merit to a lot of those seasons. Like Vanuatu 47, Africa 43, Worlds Apart, I think are great seasons. Like, I really do think that they're great seasons. And I think the other seasons in there, Fiji, South Pacific, Karamoan, Game Changers, Ghost Island, they have something to cling on to. I always say I like Borneo and Thailand more than most people. Borneo, not so much, but Thailand I do, because you know what? Like Thailand, it has that old school vibe, which I like. I enjoy that. After that, like, yeah, it was a slog to get through One World Again. It was a struggle to get through Nicaragua. Like, it's going to be hard with Edge of Extinction. Like I said, that's in there as the fun one. That's in there as the enjoyable one. But like when we get to the 40s, I'm not excited for 48, 42, 44, or 41 at all.
So here's a thought. Now that we've done both of these, would you say go chronologically? Or no, when we mentioned this is the best order to binge, it does make sense to do this. Because like when you're doing chronologically, if you're looking at your bottom 10, you're not going to hit the third season of your bottom 10 till season 21. So It is kind of like,
that's the, yeah, exactly. And Borneo and Thailand, I say you can go ahead and watch those. Like, those aren't bad seasons if you're starting off. It's just like you don't need to watch them. But if I think chronologically is better. I really do. Because I think the show gets worse.
All right. Well, that's Phil's media badge for every future.
I'm just saying, I mean, look, dude, I mean, I think the badge has been pulled anyway, but yeah, I think it gets worse. I think the show gets worse. But then again, you have a 47, you have a 43. I have 4 new era seasons in my first 20. I would show somebody right now, but that doesn't mean I think 49 and 50 are amazing. But I still am showing them the people before I'm showing them other ones. But I think going in order makes the most sense because you see the evolution of the game here. That you're not seeing the evolution of shit.
So what did we learn today, everybody?
That I put together a damn good list of 50, and somebody better go post this on Reddit. That's all I'm saying. Somebody better go post on Reddit. Here's Phil's 50. Yeah,
that's a crazy thing to do at the end of this. Let's go hit the hornet's nest and say,
yeah,
let's go tell Mordio until after 17 seasons after Redemption Island. That's so that guy
can say our torch is snuffed again.
So good. Oh, we don't think about him anymore. And I do think, okay, Blake, what are your last 20? Once again, there's some really bad seasons of Survivor that I would not recommend to people in general. So let's go ahead and have those five fall off. Then there's some where it's like, I would only watch these if you were completing or if you had an interest. Let's talk about it. And then I wouldn't try to talk you out of it, but I would try to talk to you about it of why are you watching Survivor? Is it more your killing time? Are you on painkillers? Did you have a knee surgery? Go for it. If you have the ability to walk away from your house, don't watch this season. Mm-hmm.
What are your five seasons to avoid?
Five seasons to avoid would be 41, 48, One World, Redemption Island, and South Pacific. I hated that. 22, 23, 24 almost killed me from the fandom.
But I mean, that is the worst stretch by far. Again, I put Redemption Island early just because I think getting Boston Rob's win after he loses All-Stars. But, like, you get to watch back-to-back, and you get to watch it be really boring and honestly, like, suffer a little bit, you know?
No, Ralph Kaiser's going to turn this game around. I can tell.
Andrea, man. Andrea 6.0 is going to totally play a different game, I promise.
Jesus.
All right, that's it. That's it for this episode. Let us know what you think about this list, both my list and Blake's kind of list. Are you on painkillers? Let us know what you think about all this. Hope you enjoyed this episode. If you didn't watch in order, let us know the order you ended up watching in. Like this video, subscribe.
What to I am going to do, though, for a 50 list patron. Is all 50 winners, because it's due by Wednesday, because it's going to get mixed around with some of my other favorite podcasters from the Survivor Specialists.
I was about to say, become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. Next Tuesday, we put out winner ranking part one. We're counting down from 50 to one. We're going to have five episodes. It'll be 50 to 41 next Tuesday. So that'll be an exciting episode. If you haven't been checking out Winning Survivor with myself and Once Upon an Island, we're doing that on Thursday. That'll be at 8 p.m. And if you want to check out what McKenna and John are doing, they're doing Bitter or Better, talking about the first juror on every season. That is a podcast they've been doing at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays. So we still have a lot going on during this off season, and winter rankings start next week, which is going to be awesome. I can't wait for it. So we'll see you all next time. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Bye, everybody.
See ya.